Good morning. How is everyone again? Good? I hear people. This is great. All right, so here's what I got to do. It's going to be real hard. Everybody's so close together here today. You got to high five somebody and say, when pigs fly, or nothing. Okay, it's all right. There's no participation on Sunday. You don't have to do it. I don't care if you're in a coffee shop right now. You better talk about pigs flying. Y'all better figure it out. When pigs fly, the air conditioning will come on. So go ahead and just drop that. Nothing. Okay, good time. Hey, for real, I'm excited. If I ain't got a chance to talk to you, you know me, I'm the loudest one in the room. You probably heard me singing terribly a minute ago. But we are starting a brand new series called When Pigs Fly. And we just wrapped up our Under God series, which is great. But growing up, we all heard this. So this, when pigs fly. So here's how we hear this phrase, and this is what we're going to talk about. As Alex talked about just a little bit ago, this whole series is about miracles. It's about the miracles of God, okay? So, when pigs fly is such a sarcastic term sometimes, right? Like, for me, like, here's something you would say when pigs fly is about. Tyler West likes the Florida Gators when pigs fly, right? Like, that ain't gonna happen. I'm sorry if you're a Gator fan. Now, here's the thing. I've met some great people who love the Florida Gators, but go Noles all the way, right? Right? Or even better. Tyler West does not like air conditioning when pigs fly, right? Like when pigs fly, especially this time of year, right? Like you get fired up and you get jacked up, right? Or maybe this. Tyler does not like LeBron James. Any chords, strike any chords here? I see someone in the back who's not waving. Yeah, they know better. When pigs fly, right? Right? Or lastly, last, and here's the nerd in me. Tyler West loses Final Jeopardy. When pigs fly, right? So somebody got it. It was a joke, right? But seriously, for me, I hear this term when pigs fly, and we're going to be talking through this this whole series about miracles. And so many times growing up, I heard when pigs fly. And I always, for some reason, when I heard this term, I'm just going to put it out there about me. I always thought of Dumbo, but he's an elephant who flies, so maybe that Jeopardy comment may or may not work. If whatever you think of me, that's where it was. So I always thought of Dumbo when I heard when pigs fly, but he was an elephant. So it is what it is. But this thing called when pigs fly is something that we can get stuck in when we hear the word miracle. Because so many times when I hear miracle, I wrote some things that come to mind for me, and maybe this comes to mind for you, and maybe you want to write down and participate what comes to mind for you. Like when I hear the word miracle, I think of sports a lot of times. We have the Music City Miracle. There was the Nashville, like the Tennessee Titans in Nashville. They had that. They went to the Super Bowl and lost, unfortunately, to the Rams on the final play, right? Like we hear that. We hear the Miracle on Ice. Maybe it's a movie you watched, and you remember that. Like, that's when the United States beat Russia in hockey, and it was a big deal. Like, it was a big deal. It was such a huge upset. Maybe when you hear the word miracle, you hear, I survived a car wreck. Like, you see that. You say, it's a miracle that I survived that car wreck. Or maybe you're taking a test in school and you pass it. That might be a miracle for you. Maybe the job that you've always wanted finally came along. And you say, that's a miracle that I got that job. Or better yet, I know what happens is, because just prepare your heart, because we're closer to it than we are away from it. That Christmas present you've been wanting, it's a miracle you got it, right? Like, you're so excited you got that Christmas present. It was good to go. Or lastly, maybe you finally met the person that you've been looking for. You're like, it's such a miracle I met them, right? Like, we hear miracle thrown around like that all the time, right? Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, we'll say it's a miracle. We're ready to go on Sundays. God is faithful. We'll say that it's a miracle, right? And so in this clouded world of miracle, what is a miracle really? Here's what a miracle is. We still have a miracle working God, as Alex talked about. We have a God of miracles. But here's what I want you to know. A miracle, if you're taking notes, you can take this down. A miracle is when God intervenes on your behalf in your life. When God intervenes on your behalf in your life. When God intervenes on your behalf in your life. So in other words, I don't know if the Music City Miracle, God intervened on your behalf in your life for that. I don't know how he was part of your life in that, but maybe you saw it. Maybe that was a big deal. Or the miracle on ice if you were alive. Or maybe you did survive a crazy car wreck and you're just like, it's a miracle I survived. God intervened on my behalf. But I wonder if you could truly believe that you are a miracle. That you are a miracle. You're a miracle of God. Did you know the air that you breathe is a miracle? You just take it for granted. Like, it's there. Like, it's a miracle that you breathe. Did you know, and you may have heard this all over the internet, there's a guy that built his leadership and his branding on this, and it's so true. Did you know that the odds of you being born and you being who you are is 400 trillion to one? 400 trillion to one. So let me paint this picture of what that looks like for you. That means there's one turtle in the ocean, and someone throws one life vest out in the middle of the ocean. And the odds of you being born is that turtle comes up for air in the neck hole of that life jacket in the entire world. Now, isn't that a miracle? Like, think of that. Like, how crazy is that? Like, you're rooting for that turtle, right? Like, at this moment in time, you're rooting for that. Like, that is the odds that you would be born. You are a miracle. And so many times what happens is we attach the word miracle to so many things that we miss out on the significance of it, because a miracle is God working in your life on your behalf. It's God intervening on your life on your behalf. So, crowd participation here. Crowd participation. If you're online, get here next week. We want you here. Come hang out with us, because you're going to participate in this too. Because right now when you participate, everybody just thinks you're smoking something crazy. So that's awesome. It is what it is. When they see me on screen, they'll know. But next week, we want you in here to participate. So today, we're diving into these things called miracles. So let me ask you this. How many people in our life, or maybe ourselves, would say we're looking for a miracle? You know someone who's looking for a miracle. And you know, maybe it's deliverance. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's protection, maybe it's provision, but somewhere in your life, you're looking for a miracle, right? Somewhere. So we have this series that we're going to dive into this, and today what we're going to talk about is something that can be really weird, is something that's really fun. You may have said, would Tyler ever talk about this? When Pigs Fly. Hey, we have a series called When Pigs Fly. It's something that can be weird, but it's something that we probably talk about at the end of October or a certain Friday of the month. Right? Like, there's certain Friday, if it falls, triskaidekaphobia, if it will, there's your final Jeopardy answer and question, you know what it is. Like, maybe it's something that falls in that, right? But today what we're going to be talking about is the miracle of deliverance. Today we're going to be talking about when God does miracles over the forces and powers of darkness and demonic forces. So before you get all weirded out and you take a deep breath, and you figure out if Tyler had a special brownie or if he's smoking something in the back that we need to know about, for real, hang in here with me, because I believe each and every one of us are going to get something from today, because we have this perception of dark forces and demons and deliverance, and we hear all these things. And today I just want to unpack what that looks like, because here's where I'm at. We're going to build a scriptural foundation here on this, but most of all, I do not want you to believe that the devil is not alive, that the devil is not real. Because the scariest thing right now in the world that I believe where we're stuck is the world has bought the lie that the devil doesn't exist. And the devil's not the cool guy with the little horns and the little tail flying around, right? Like, or he puts out, what is it, deviled ham or eggs or whatever those are that they have. There's some devil hash or whatever it is, that the little candies. Or devil's not something that comes out at the end of October or only comes up on those Fridays. The devil is alive and he's real. And so today we have to understand that there is something coming against us. And the crazy thing is, our perception of that can be really weird, right? Like, when somebody says that, don't we, like, I'm not going to lie to you, my Pharisee heart, I go into a crazy mode. I'm probably just like, ooh, the demons, all right, we're going to exorcise them, like, what's going on, like, what's happening there? But I'm also neglecting the fact that there are demons that are there, okay? So we're going to unpack that. And I'm going to give you a scriptural basis for this because I just want you to have an open mind and an open heart. And Alex invited you to this thing on Thursday night where we're going to dive deeper into this. So today, believe it or not, we're just scratching the surface. I probably had about 3 hours of notes ready, and I'm going to give only 2.5 of them. So if you're ready for that, I hope you're ready for that. I'm just kidding. The wage line will be down when you get there. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. I promise. So today, maybe where we're going to be is I'm going to give you a scripture reference. So I'm saying maybe because I'm thinking about this. So something new that we have been trying is maybe you're part of it. Maybe you have it. How many folks have the Bible app on their phone? Hey, I see some hands up. So something new we've been trying, because today is going to be a day you definitely want to have your Bible app, because I know you can get real worried about, is my neighbor seeing me flip through my notes or not? Like, I know it's on screen. Like, I know I get apprehensive like that sometimes. So something new that we've been trying is on the Bible app. And if you go, we're going to have a video on the screen, and we're going to show you how to do this. If you're watching. The scripture will be there. I just want to challenge you, if you haven't done that, maybe you're watching online, there's a Bible tab if you're at live.thevine.tv. We want you to be able to see where we are scripturally, because today we're going to dive into it a little bit, okay? So are y'all ready to go in there with me? Are y'all ready to exercise it? Y'all ready to get it for real? Y'all ready to get jacked up? All right, so we're going to have fun today, but I'm going to tell you, if you've got your Bible and you choose not to be in the Bible app, you're going to say, would Tyler ever speak out of this book when pigs fly? Okay, so it's the perfect way to start the series, okay? So there are two places I want you to get to in your Bible, okay? Okay, and then we're going to have some other scripture that's going to start, but two places. So if you're camping out in scripture, I want you to be at Daniel 6. You would expect me to speak through that. That would be real easy. Daniel 6. And then the one that you're going to say pigs are flying, don't worry, I don't have wings or anything. It's going to be good. I'm not going to jump off the stage or something. Habakkuk 1. I didn't say tobacco for those in the south. I said Habakkuk. So if you've got your Bible, Daniel, if you'll go to the middle of your Bible, you start flipping to the right, Daniel will be right there. If you open in the middle of the Bible, you're probably going to land in Psalms or Proverbs. Daniel's going to be there. But if you're looking for this book called Habakkuk, this isn't like your youth pastor always did, trying to trick you with a fake book of the Bible. It's a real book of the Bible. If you get to the New Testament book of Matthew, go 5 books to the left, you'll find Habakkuk. So Daniel 6 and Habakkuk. Those are the two places we're going to be in our Bible. And so if that's you and you're following along, you can get there. We're hopefully going to have that on screen here in a second, but if we don't, it's a great day to have your Bible app. So I'm going to pray real quick, because I'm going to tell you there's been some crazy stuff happening today, and I think it's no coincidence. And then we're going to dive into it. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity to lift your name high and dive into something that can be real touchy, can be real scary, can be real weird for us. But Jesus, you've already won the victory. You've already overcome all this. So a lot of times we don't see this because we see only you. And that's what we want to do. But Jesus, let our eyes be open, our ears be open, and our hearts be open to what you would have us hear today. Because there is something out there. You told us that he would be out there. You told us the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But you have come so that we may have life, and that we may have it to the full. So Jesus, let us be reminded of that today, and let us have our minds and hearts open. We love you, Jesus. This is all so that your name is famous. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to dive in. I'm just going to read the scripture for you. Hopefully it's going to pop up there for you. Ephesians 6 verse 12 is where I'm going to start. Then I'm going to be in 1 Peter, and then we're going to go to where you landed in Daniel 6 in just a minute, okay? So Ephesians 6:12 says this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and principalities and authorities and powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces in heavenly realms." We'll say that again. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, It's not against that person that talks bad about us on Nextdoor or Facebook or Twitter or don't like our Instagram post. It's not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, and against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we just finished up talking about about Ephesians in our last series, right? We were diving into Ephesians some. And so I want to promise you that Paul's not smoking crack here. He's being real. Like, he's trying to tell you there are some things that are happening. He's writing this church in Ephesus. We know that this church is a Gentile church, and he had been there, and he's just trying to prepare them for what's ahead. And it's no coincidence that he ends in Ephesians 6 and says, hey, listen, we are fighting something. If you ever see me get ready for the message, I will tell you our Vine creative team is incredible. Our worship team is awesome. How about them? They do an awesome job every week. I see some claps. Yes, they deserve it. They do a great job. Our production team does an incredible job every week. And sometimes they see me backstage on the way up, and you'll see me, and you probably think, if you've ever saw me, why the heck does he tie his shoes every time he goes on stage? And I want to tell you what I'm doing. In Ephesians 6, see, Paul goes on to talk about this thing called the armor of God. So if you ever see me back here getting ready to go on stage, a lot of times you'll see me like, you're like, he's checking his belt, he's tying his shoes, he's putting this thing over his, what's happening? I'm putting on the full armor of God. Because I'm going to tell you, so many times there's some things that happen. So if you don't know what that is, if you just remember, it's the belt of truth, the shoes of the gospel, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the word, right? And the shield of faith. Like, those are the things you have to have. And Paul goes on to tell this Gentile church that, hey, you have to put on God's full armor every day, because there is something out there that's trying to stop you. 1 Peter 5:8 says this: be alert and sober-minded. And of sober mind, excuse me. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Peter, the guy who walked with Jesus step by step all the way through, the guy who denied Jesus was restored again, right? Like, the guy who the church blossomed out of, the guy who was a fisherman, the guy who walked around and literally walked on water, said, seriously, we have to understand that our mind has to be sober of what is coming against us. Sometimes that can be really hard to understand. So I'm going to put all my cards on the table. I have fought this a lot of times when I wanted to speak about it. Because when you hear that, man, the things that come in mind, like, how many folks just think about, like, somebody having demons cast out, or the exorcism, or the exorcist. Like, we think of all these things, right? But yet to hear that, it makes you wonder, like, what's going on with that? Like, is that real or not? So I'm going to put all my cards on the table. Yes, there is something out there against you that's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. And his name is the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion. But here's the thing. Everything bad that happens in your life isn't because of demons. If you've maxed out your credit cards and you can't go on vacation, that ain't demons. It's because you can't budget. I'm just going to be real with you. That ain't got nothing to do with demons. Hey, if I go out and eat all-you-can-eat buffets all the time and I'm 500 pounds, that's me. That ain't a demon. I'm going to tell you right now. So everything bad that happens in your life is not because of demons, but there is something out there. So keep that frame of mind and keep that frame of reference as we go out here. So today I just want to remove some of the blinders that Satan has on us, and I want us to see the miracles in our life. So remember, you are a miracle. 400 trillion to one. Not million, not billion, but trillion. The little turtle swimming in the ocean through the life jacket. That's the same odds that you had of being born. It's not by coincidence. And Jesus knows that you were born for a purpose, with a purpose, and on purpose, but so does Satan. And he's going to do everything he can to stop you from being the child of God that you were made to be. So keep that frame of reference. So if you got your Bible again, Daniel 6. How many people are in Daniel 6? Awesome. How many people are using the Bible app to do it? Yes, good times. Daniel 6. So this is a story, if you've grown up in church, because we're going to lay a ground rules about this thing called demons, and I'm going to try to paint a picture here and land the plane so that it makes sense. And I can't wait to dive in even more on Thursday night with this. Daniel 6 is a story we've all heard. If you've gone to church, you've heard of Daniel in the lion's den, right? Like, most of us have heard about Daniel in the lion's den, right? Where he went in there and he petted the kitties and they were good, right? There were three kitties and they were just roaring lions and they were diving in there, and he came out unscathed. Well, we know how this story ends, but I just want you to have fresh eyes as you look at this, and we go to the book of Habakkuk in a minute, okay? So I'm going to start in Daniel 6, and it says this. So these administrators and satraps, what a cool name, went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors, it's a lot of people, y'all, right? Don't that sound like a lot of people? Have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree, put it in writing so that it cannot be altered. In accordance with what the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. Can't be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Put the decree in writing. So before we go to that great Habakkuk book, all right? If you're there, Habakkuk. New word today. I probably say that really funny. So if you're watching online, that southern drawl comes out when I say that. These guys that are talking here, these edicts, these administrators and satraps, these royal prefects, are what's called Chaldeans. So Chaldeans. Chaldeans. It's going to make a huge difference here in a minute. So the Chaldeans, okay? So remember that. Chaldeans. Chaldeans. The Chaldeans. All these guys are the Chaldeans. If you look at King Darius, and you know anything, I'm going to give you a little bit of history here. Here's where the Jeopardy is going to come out. Sorry. But King Darius took over for King Belshazzar. I'm going to say that wrong. I probably butchered that. Please, don't fight with me online. It's not against flesh and blood I'm fighting, so don't you be fighting me online because I butchered that, okay? And he took over for King Nebuchadnezzar, the one that we probably heard a lot about in Babylonian Empire, right? Like, we've heard about Nebuchadnezzar, the great dream, the writing on the wall, all this crazy stuff. That's the king we know about. Well, we're two kings down from him, this guy named King Darius of the Medes. So what's important with these Chaldeans? Just laying the groundwork here, okay? Chaldeans. Chaldeans. The reason I'm giving you that is I'd love for you to research it on your own, too. Dig in there. Don't always take me at what I'm doing, because I may be wrong in something. So trust me here when I'm going there, but dig in. Trust but verify. So it goes. So the Chaldeans, why are they important? Well, according to the book of Jeremiah, they were destroyed in 530 BC. But did you know that the Chaldeans are talked about in Acts 13, and also in Revelation? So why in the world would we talk about them in the New Testament if they were destroyed? Get that in a minute. It's crazy. It's going to be awesome. I hope you're ready. And then I want you to remember about this guy. You've probably heard Chaldeans from somewhere if you've grown up in church. Has everybody heard of Ur of the Chaldeans? Ur, what a cool name. Ur, you are. We do that now, right? Ur, we just go Ur, right? Like it's Ur. Ur of the Chaldeans. There was somebody, we'll paint the picture back to that, but if you don't remember, there's someone who came out of Ur of the Chaldeans. It's all going to make sense while we're talking about Chaldeans in a minute. So, Ur of the Chaldeans, remember that too. Here's what I want you to know. These Chaldeans are going to have a description that is talked about in Habakkuk, okay? So get to Habakkuk. I know I'm fire hosing you. I'm giving you a ton of info, but it's going to make sense. So hang in here with me, okay? Hang in here with me. So Daniel 6, these precepts, satraps, administrators, they're Chaldeans. Habakkuk 1, verse 5 says this, "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe when pigs fly," right? Even if you were told when pigs fly. I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. Is that not the definition of pigs fly right there? Like, I'm going to do something you wouldn't believe if you were told. This is what Paul quotes in Acts. He says the same thing to the church in Acts. Habakkuk 1:5, literally, word for word, he quotes that, okay? Now, verse 6, I'm going to need some crowd participation here because you may not have, if you've got the Bible app, you can see it. If you've got your Bible, it's going to make sense. And you may not see this on screen where it goes there, and that's my fault, I didn't communicate well. Verse 6 says, "I am raising up the Babylonians." So there's a reference there. If you've got, how many folks have the Bible app right now, and they have like the three dots? Click on those three dots, and I'm going to need some help here. What does that say, the Babylonians or the what? Tough crowd. Babylonians or the what? Does it tell you? It may not. That's going to be bad. Or the what? The Chaldeans. So he is raising up the what? The Babylonians or the Chaldeans. God's saying in Habakkuk, I'm raising up the Chaldeans. Now, this is way after Jeremiah, guys. Like, I'm raising up the Babylonians or the Chaldeans. So here's what I want to tell you. Those leaders were Chaldeans. Babylon was actually taken over by Chaldeans. If you look at Daniel 1, go back and look at it in the end. When Nebuchadnezzar takes all over, I think it's Daniel 1, like verse 5 as well. When he takes over, it says he's looking for young men like me. So just hang in here. Like, he, handsome, smart, daring, fearsome. I mean, I would have been in there. Somebody laughed. That's great. So everybody else is just confused and thinks I'm smoking something. So he takes that, but he says he takes them over to teach them the language of the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans. So it says, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, the ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth. And this is what I want you to pay attention to. This is even really crazy. Deceased dwellings, not their own. Deceased dwellings, not their own. So what do we normally say when a demon takes over? That you were what? Possessed? You call somebody in possession to cast the demon out because they're in a dwelling that is not their own. Think about that. Maybe these Chaldeans, I wonder if they're demons. I wonder if they're possessed. I wonder if they have something the same way these demons do. Because when I look at when Jesus walked around on this earth and he sent out the disciples to cast out demons and he was with people who were demon-possessed, he would say this about them. He would say, after the demon has been cast out, the house is clean and in order. But the demon doesn't stop there. See, he brings seven more spirits worse than he is back to a house that's in order. That's what these Chaldeans are doing. They're trying to take something that was not their own. They're trying to dwell in a space that was not their own. And when I look at that and I hear about Jesus and I think about, well, somebody met Jesus, their house is clean, it should all be good to go, they've got it all together, I think of the new believer in Christ. Because isn't that how it goes? You meet Jesus, your priorities are in order. You start reading your Bible more than likely. You start trying to get a little bit in community, but you start investigating. You start listening to worship music. You start trying to figure out some things. And all of a sudden, about, I don't know, maybe a year later, maybe you get baptized. And all of a sudden, that same sin that started dominating you, doesn't it creep back in? And doesn't it just be worse than it was before? Like, isn't it just crazy how much stronger that urge is to sin than it was before? That's because that spirit has brought seven more against you to try to stop you dead in your tracks from being all that God made you to be. And we may think that, oh, that's just me, that's just me, that's just got something to do with me, it's got everything to do with me, and it's got everything to do with my thinking. And yes, you're right. Paul says we got to renew our mind daily. We absolutely do. But what if there is something out there that's trying to stop you? Because see, if I'm aware it's trying to stop me, odds are I'm going to know how to have power over it. I'm going to know how to have authority over it, right? So that's what we have to understand with demons. So here's what I want to tell you about demons. Okay, the first thing about demons is this. Demons distract you. Demons distract you. These Chaldeans, they distracted the king. They told this king, King Darius. So let me paint that picture how it was for a second there. It's my fault. I didn't set you up where. Demons distract you. So King Darius is there. They say, issue this decree. Well, here's what was about to happen. Maybe this has happened in your life. What's happened is Daniel is about to be promoted. He's about to be those people's boss. And they found out about it. And they're like, Daniel doesn't deserve to be the boss. I deserve to be the boss because I'm the one who's given things up. I'm the one who's done all this. I'm the one who's got all these things. I'm the one who's earned it. I'm the one who's put in all the work. Who is Daniel? He's praying to this God. Like, this is crazy. We got to stop Daniel in his tracks because if he becomes my boss, there's no telling what he'll do, right? That's exactly where they are. And so they distract the king and say, hey, issue this decree. And when you issue it, you can't take, no take backsies. Like, you can't take it back. Like, that's it. You have to do it. And so Daniel does what Daniel does. And the king's about to realize how crazy that is. So it made me think about some things in our real life, because practically these Chaldeans, as I'm saying, are demons. I want you to think about this. If you think that maybe this demon thing, maybe they're not trying to distract me. Maybe it's not real. Maybe this is just something that's in October. And it's fun. Ding, ding, ding. You know, the devil and Tom Walker, right? Like, it's just fun. We just go flying around, right? Like, it's not. It's all fun and games. Like, it's not a big deal. Well, I'll tell you how I've seen demons distract in my life and how I can see it being distracting in the world. Has anybody ever heard all paths lead to God? Right? As long as you just know all paths lead to God, it'll work out. I can live my life the way I want. I know that all paths lead to God. It doesn't matter if I worship 70 gods or one God. As long as all paths lead to God, I'm covered, right? Like, I've got fire insurance. I'm covered. I'm good to go because all paths lead to God. That's how a demon will distract you, because we know the only way, truth, and life is through Christ Jesus, right? But yet, demon will distract you. The demon will tell you it's a 12-step process. The demon will tell you it's the power of your mind. Age is only a thought. Like, it'll tell you all of these things. And yes, not that those things are all bad, but if you're not, don't have Christ at the center of your life, the way, the truth, and the life, who cares where all roads lead? Because at one point in time, all roads led to Rome. It doesn't right now, right? Like, all roads are there. So people say all roads lead to God. Maybe that didn't resonate with you. Maybe it's this. Hey, once I become a Christian, I don't have to grow anymore. Once again, I got fire insurance. Why would I do community? Well, I just told you what Jesus promised us when the demon was cast out, when we are made new and we are made clean, that our house is in order and there's going to be something that's seven times stronger that comes against us. But yeah, you think you don't need community. I can tell you, I live that life. I've lived that life. I've been in that life. I can tell you there was a moment in my life where I went to a different church every weekend because I couldn't figure it out. Because who needs community? I read my Bible. I've got the answers. I got the knowledge. Everything's great. I don't need community. And I will tell you, I saw a ton of people, met a lot of people, and it was probably the most dark time for my growth ever in my relationship with Christ. Not that I didn't read my Bible as much as I do now. Not that I didn't worship as much as I do now. Not that I didn't see some incredible things happen inside the church. The difference was I didn't have the community outside of it. The difference was at night, everything would come. Isn't it always funny how that happens at night? How the stress happens, the worry, the anxiety, those things that you fight will always do that. It always happens at night, right? It seems to. Maybe it gets you in the morning. Maybe that's your night. I don't know. But like, it's crazy. And I can tell you, in that time in my life, that's how I was distracted. Is because I believe that lie. Here's what I want to tell you is going to happen in your life. You're going to have that as a Christian. There are an army of demons out there dwelling in the world. We've been told this. We can look all the way through the Bible. I mean, I could give you, oh, geez, I didn't have all of it. Hang in there. If you ever want to look at Revelation, look at Isaiah 41. You can look in Revelation as well. It talks about the devil, and it talks about he said, I am one with God, and how he was thrown out of heaven. Revelation tells us how a third of the angels in heaven will be thrown out of heaven in the very end. Like a third of the angels in heaven. Think about that. Of all the angels in heaven, a third of them are with the devil. A third. That foosball is the devil. Like, they're with the devil, y'all. That's crazy. That's crazy. So there is something that's real out there. There is something that's real out there. So to put it in practical terms, you need community in your life because Jesus promised where two or three are gathered, I am there with them also. And I can tell you this, putting my cards on the table, with this demon stuff, where we go when I'm talking to you about demons distracting you, I just want to be real with you. With Jesus in it, you ain't got nothing to worry about with demons. Doesn't mean life's going to be easy. I'm not giving you prosperity gospel because you know anything about me. That's not where I'm at. You're going to have times. You're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have moments in your life that you feel like hurt. You're going to feel pain. Jesus promised that. This world will come against us. There will be tribulation that comes against us. But with Christ in it, Satan can't win. These demons and his entire army can't win. It's just not possible to win. It's just not possible to win. So here's what I will tell you. make sure that you get in community, because the easiest way to understand and overcome those thoughts, those urges, anytime I feel like I'm going crazy, I can pick up my phone and text somebody, or I can pick up my phone and call somebody. I say, hey, I'm struggling. I say, what are you struggling about? Well, I was trying to put this trailer back on Sunday, and I ran this red light, and somebody was crazy. Like, I don't know what happened, right? I drove by the Krispy Kreme, and the Hot Now sign wasn't on. What the heck, man? I'm struggling, y'all. I'm struggling. I want something good, right? Like, I'm struggling. The power of community in my life is, it doesn't matter if some folks are right down the road or three states away, they're going to be there for me. That's the power of community. And I want to tell you, you have a community here. Maybe you're searching for that. You have community here. You have people who want to do that with you. And I promise you, when the demons try to distract you, when Satan tries to do things in your life to pull you and push you in all different directions and take your focus on everything, off of everything but Christ, having those people that do have Christ as a focus is so important. Because when you gather together, Christ will be the focus, because he promises you he will be there. Continuing on. Lastly, on demons distracting, made me think of this. This is a practical example, so hang in here. This is real estate, so you got to hang in here with me, all right? So I'm hoping you can lend, but I think you can. Squatters. Anybody know about squatters? Squatters. I'm not talking about crazy stuff. I'm talking about squatters. You know, how does a squatter usually work on your property? Start at like your property line, right? Then they just keep moving in. If you don't think squatters exist, go build a fence and see what your neighbor does and see if it crosses the property line, right? Like, a squatter does that. Demons are kind of like that. Here's what will happen. They'll start on the fringe, be a little something here or there. Then all of a sudden they're at your property line, and then they make it to your driveway, and it's just like, it's a lawn ornament. It's good. It'll be all right. It's just a lawn ornament. It's just this little, I got it under control. I've got it under control, right? All of a sudden it creeps its way into your living room, to the kitchen, then it's in your bedroom. And all of a sudden your clean house is tore up. This thing you had in order is complete chaos, tore up from the floor up. It is crazy. And it's because that's how the demons operate. They'll distract you. They'll tell you it's okay. You got it under control. Everything's fine. You can do this. You know what? Their sin is worse than yours. Their sin's worse than yours. Did you see what they were doing? You can get away with that. That's how demons in your life will distract you. They'll make you compare. They'll make you fight. They'll make you do everything possible to not be all that Jesus made you to be. So just notice that that can happen in your life. Moving on. We only got 2 hours left, y'all. It's going to be great. 2 hours left. Daniel 6, verse 10. Tough crowd. Daniel 6, verse 10 says this. Now when Daniel learned the decree had been published. So this is where he hears. The king says, if you pray to anybody else but God, you're going to go swimming with the kitty cats. You're going to go see Simba, Mufasa, Scar, and all of them. You're going to be in there with them. Okay? When he hears that, he went upstairs to his room where the windows were opened. So, like, this is where we talk about faith in Daniel, and this is crazy. The windows were open, and three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to God just as he had done before. So these demons that tried to distract King Darius, all of a sudden Daniel's not distracted by it. He said, God's called me to do this. I'm going to be obedient to what God's called me to do. These things aren't going to distract me from being all that God made me to be. Like, I'm going to pray three times a day. I wish I could tell you I was good at praying three times a day. I wish I could tell you I was perfect at that. I'm working on it, y'all. But I look at Daniel, and I look at his faith in the midst of all this and the demons that are distracting him, and all of a sudden, he says, I'm going to keep doing what I've done before because God's called me to do that. Then these Chaldeans, these men, went as a group and found Daniel praying, asking God for help. Sounds good, right? So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, if anyone prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, they would be thrown in the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or the decree that you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. The king's angry, right? Like, he's ready to throw something. He's gonna just punch the air, right? Like, he's ready to just go ravish and knock down Daniel's door. This is what demons do to your life too, whether you realize it or not. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and make every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." No decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. Before we go back to Habakkuk here in a minute, I just want to say, that's what a demon will do to you. It'll get you in so deep. That's where the king was. He was so distracted off of what he was supposed to be doing and so distracted off of what these guys were trying to do to him, these things were trying to do to him, that he took his focus off of what God made him to be and what God called him to be, so much so he was more worried about an edict being published and being out there as the king and getting the law out there and his name out there and the things being right, that his friend, the one he was going to promote, is the one he actually threw down in the lion's den. But I love that it said that there. If you're taking notes, like, look at that. It says he was greatly distressed. That's what a demon will do to you. It'll get you so far in, like that squatter that came in. All of a sudden, it's Thanksgiving and the family's coming over, and they went in the godforsaken dining room that no one eats in but once a year, right? And they tore it up. All the chairs are messed up, and you realize you're greatly distressed. You're trying to figure out how you're going to make it happen. That's how a demon will come after you. And I want you to know that so many times you think that this may not happen today, right? This may not happen today. Let me ask you this. What's the first thing you pick up in the morning when you wake up? It's your phone, right? These wonderful little devices. You know how I found out I was addicted to this thing? So usually I'm up about 5 or 5:30 in the morning, and I'm a hard copy guy. I do read things on the Bible app, so I'd love to hang out with you. Sometimes that's usually my midday reading. I know, being nerdy and saintly, I'm not perfect. But I like to read my Bible in the morning, first thing when I get up. I started noticing I was picking this thing up. And so my bedroom's upstairs where I have my quiet times downstairs. It's like a sunroom, and I like seeing nature. I'm just one of those people. I'm weird, but I have allergies, so I don't know how God works that out. He has a sense of humor. But I found out I was addicted to this phone is I would realize the first thing I'd pick up is my phone. Check the weather. You know, say a prayer. I mean, you wake up, say a prayer, check the weather. Then I'd go hang out with Jesus. And I started getting convicted of that. And so I realized that I was addicted to this thing because I started leaving my phone upstairs, and I realized how my quiet time that could be really dry in the morning started being fulfilled, and my phone wasn't the first thing that I picked up. So if you think that inside of your life you can't be distracted by a demon, or you think that it can't get a hold of you, figure out what you do on here. Hey, you even want to see even more? You can go on this cool little thing and you can look at battery usage, and it'll tell you the programs that have used the most battery. See which one you spend the most time on. It'll blow your mind. More than likely, it's social media. It's really crazy. Nothing wrong with social media. It's a great platform. But if it dominates your life, it's a distraction. It can be an idol in your life. That's how the demon will come after you. So I want you to know that so many times we can be stuck there. Also, maybe, hey, you're like, hey, I got it all together. I don't have time for that. I'm up at 5 a.m. I just like climbing the corporate ladder. If you think a demon can't distract you in that, understand that's exactly where he'll distract you, because climbing that corporate ladder is going to require you to do something that you don't want to do. And all of a sudden you do it, and you're going to be just like King Darius. You're going to be greatly distressed. You're going to try to save the person that you hurt in the meantime, the person that was your friend. Demons can do that to you. Chaldeans can do that to you. Going on in Habakkuk, I'm telling you, I'm going to keep knocking this thing down. Going on in Habakkuk, verse 7 from chapter 1. Listen to this, if you're taking notes. They are a feared and dreaded people. Those Chaldeans, okay, we're talking about the same people, the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, right? Feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards. That's some fast horses, y'all. They're going to win some Kentucky Derbies. They're ready to go. Fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar off. They fly in like an eagle, swooping to devour. They all come trying to make peace. Jesus says he came so that we could have peace. But what does it say that they all come to do? They fly in like an eagle. They devour like the wolves. They don't come in making peace. They all come intent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind. Gather prisoners like sand. prisoners like sand. So demons distract you. The next thing they do is deceive you, okay? So they distract you, and then they'll deceive you. I told you this social media thing can get you. It'll distract you. It'll deceive you. Because you can be friends on Facebook, not be friends in real life. For real, right? Right? You start dating the person that other person wanted to date. You find out who your friend is. It gets real crazy, right? Like, I know that's high school drama, but I think that's what happens on social media a lot more. Maybe it's middle school drama. I don't know. Happens on social media more than you think. Or misquote one scripture. You'll find out how important your friends are. I'll tell you right now. You get tore up from the floor. It'll be crazy. It'll be crazy. So what happens is, I looked at Habakkuk 1, verse 7 through 9. Doesn't that sound what happened in Daniel? One more time. I'm just going to read it out loud. We don't have to have it on screen, but if you're following the Bible app, you're getting it. They're feared and dreaded people. You think the king didn't fear those people, but he definitely dreaded the decision he made to throw Daniel in the lion's den. They are a law to themselves. They promote their own honor. These guys were afraid that Daniel was going to be their boss. And how dare he be my boss, because I'm better than him. I'm prideful. I've got it together. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trick the king. I'm going to trick the ultimate authority. Hey, let me tell you something. You can't trick God. That's the one person you can't try to trick in this life. You're going to try. You say, if I pray this way, you think God will take care of it? No, 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 no. You ain't going to trick him. You're going to trick him. But man, you might be able to do. That's what these guys are doing. Their horses are swifter than leopards. Well, I don't know if these guys rode in on horses, so hang in on that. But they are fiercer than wolves at dusk. Fiercer than wolves at dusk. We'll talk about that in a second. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly in like an eagle swooping his out. To devour. What does it say that those people did? It said they came as a group to Daniel's house. One man praying on his knees three times a day with his window open, mind you. I got to get a group of people to go get him because he's fierce. He's ferocious. I can't take him by myself. I got to go have about 30 men come with me so we can go get him at once. Yeah, okay. That's where these guys were. They all come in and flying like an eagle, swooping to devour. They all come intent on violence. They were pretty intent. They were going to throw this man in the lion's den. And then they gathered prisoners like sand. You see, here's the thing that I want us to see. The verse 8 says, you know, we talk about demons deceiving you. Have you ever, how many folks have studied wolves? Me neither. Come on, y'all are Twilight fans. It is what it is. Don't even lie. I know that's what y'all did. Don't even lie. I know I'm too old for that too. Maybe not. But if you did do that online, I don't know if you ever studied wolves. That ain't the real deal. But here's the funny thing about wolves. Wolves travel in packs, right? We see that. Wolves travel in packs. Have you ever come up on a single wolf? Man, you guys should see online. Everybody's seen wolves in here. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy awesome. If you ever come up on a wolf, usually what is it you see on the movies? What was the name of the movie? The Gray or whatever it was that he had the wolf, whatever. What do you usually see? It's a wolf going, right? Like he's showing his fangs and he's by himself and you think that there's something going on. See, that's not the wolf you need to be scared of. Because that wolf has about seven that are surrounding you closing in. Like, you're almost gone already when that happens. I'm just going to be real with you. That's not the wolf you need to be afraid of. The wolf that you can get away from, I'll be honest with you. The wolf that you need to be afraid of is the one that's comfortable with you. I'm not talking about dogs, so hang in here with me. I know we talk about them, and they have the commercial how they need to have natural food and blue and all that crazy stuff. I'm being real, real wolves. Why you need to be afraid of them is the more comfortable they are around you, they're really just sizing you up. You know any people like that in your life? They seem real comfortable around you, but they're just sizing you up. They're just trying to figure out when they can strike. It's exactly what these guys were doing to Daniel. Exactly what the demon will do in your life. You know, I don't see a wolf coming at you when you're at your best. Like, I don't see a wolf coming at you when you're skiing down in Colorado, having a good time doing your thing, right? Or maybe you're up at Snowshoe, or maybe you're doing your thing and you're on top of the world and you're high and you're ready to go. Not high on the other stuff. High, like it's a good high in life, right? Like you're at the top. You're at the top of the mountain. I don't see the wolf bothering you then. I see the wolf usually getting you when you've ran out of food, you can't get a fire, the snow is high, right? Like that wolf is coming. And more than likely what we have to understand in our life is how these demons will deceive us. They'll be like that wolf. They'll be like that wolf. They'll be sizing us up. And it usually happens when we're on the fringe. I'm going to keep pounding community here because I'm just going to be real with you. I believe in it. I've lived outside of it long enough to tell you how much it hurts because it does. It's not that you aren't a Christian if you don't have community. It's not that you can't be a Christian if you don't have community. What matters is inside community, you can grow. you can have people that have your back, that walk step by step with you through this journey and this thing called life. And here's the thing about wolves and sheep. Wolves always start on the fringe too. Remember that demon's a squatter? He slowly worked his way in. That's what wolves do. They pick the sheep off of the fringe. So if you're part of this fold, I don't know about you, but like I'm trying to get in the center of this thing, and I'm going to be like, that wolf ain't going to get me. Like, I'm going to be in the middle. That wolf's going to get somebody else. But the only way that I can do that and be connected is if I'm in real community. And here's the thing I want to tell you about wolves and sheep. Wolves and sheep only exist together where there is no shepherd. Wolves and sheep are together where there is no shepherd. So I told you this thing about demons, how if you have Christ in you, you ain't got to worry about demons, because there is a great shepherd, and his name is Jesus. And I promise you, the wolves will be taken and kept at bay if Jesus is at the center of everything that you do. You can't worry about that. You know these things are coming against you, but who cares? Because I know who has the victory. I know who has already won. And what happens in our life so many times is inside community. Either Jesus isn't the center, or one person is the center, and we wonder why the wolves keep nipping and taking and pulling sheep away. The reason is we got to live a life with Jesus at the center, because if all of us have Jesus at the center, all of us are going to be in the center. We're not going to be on the fringe. And the wolf will always do that. So this thing I've been telling you about Chaldeans, why does this make sense, or why does it make sense to me? And hopefully it's going to make sense to you here in a minute about demons. So let me tell you about these people called the Chaldeans that were destroyed in 530 BC. These Chaldeans were master archers, okay? Master archers, like Robin Hood stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, they had this archery thing down, okay? Master archers. But here's what they did, and this will relate to folks in South Carolina. Is they lived in a swamp. Not swamp people, not Troy Landry that's walking out there talking about Chudum, like it wasn't anything crazy. Like, they lived in the swamp, y'all. They lived in a swamp. So there were archers that lived in a swamp. Think about this. Archers live in a swamp. So what is that? So they live in a swamp. Well, here's how they always beat and defeated their enemies. They would let the enemy step into the swamp, and you would think, well, right when they step in, they crossed enemy lines, like they're gonna shoot them. They're master archers, like they're snipers, they got them, right? No, they let them keep walking in that swamp. They got about halfway through, and when they got more than halfway to the other side, they'd kill them, they'd shoot them. Here's what I'm getting at. They would let their enemy trudge through the swamp before they attack. They let them be weighed down by everything in the swamp, and they attack like wolves, right? Hey, here's where it's going to relate to demons. Demons aren't going to get you right away. They're going to let you be weighed down by what's happening in your life. And when you're trudging through in the middle of the swamp, you've got all these things that are just holding you down. That's when they're going to attack. Because you know what? That's when you're left out. That's when you think that you're hopeless. That's when you've issued a decree to your friends that they're going to be thrown to the wolves. That's where you are. And that's where I want to tell you about Satan is this. I rarely see a moment where Satan kicks you when you're up. Does anybody else have that? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, look at Jesus. Like, Jesus fasted for 40 days, and then Satan came to him. He didn't do it at the beginning of the fast. He waited till the end of the fast, 40 days in the wilderness, right? And he came to him, and he said, hey, man, I bet you hungry. You want some bread? I mean, if it's me, I'm going to be like, are they wage rolls? Yes, yes, and to-go box. Like, right? Like, I'm ready to go, right? But what did Jesus say? Man can't live on bread alone. Then he says, hey, man, listen, okay, I got you here, okay, I got you. You ain't hungry. You got it. You're Jesus. You're the Son of God, right? Like, so then he goes and he says, hey, man, if you just bow down to me, I'll give you anything you want. I've got authority over all of the earth. I wander it. I dwell in places I'm not supposed to dwell. If you just bow down to me, we'll make it happen. Jesus talks to him. What we just talked about, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, right? Then he says, hey, okay, I'm going to take you on the tall mountaintop because I know you're still hungry and you still ain't going to bow down to me to get bread and all this crazy stuff. So I'm going to take you to the mountaintop, or temple, excuse me, and I want you to see how real your God is. I want you to throw yourself off of it. And if he is the God you say he is, he's going to catch you. He's going to catch you, right? He'll send down angels to catch you. And Jesus says, hey, you're not supposed to tempt the Lord your God, right? So maybe you've heard that story, maybe you haven't, but I want to tell you, at that moment you would think, well, Satan's done, right? He ain't gonna go after Jesus no more. If you ever go back and look at that text, test me in this, go do that, find out on your own. It says Satan waited till a more opportune time. It didn't say he stopped. So if our Lord and Savior had something come against him, waiting for a more opportune time, do you think that he's not letting you go through that swamp, just trudging left and right, getting weighed down, bills, family, job, career, school,
car payment,
whatever that is, I don't know, whatever it is for you, he's going to wait till you get bogged down, he's going to strike. So here's the thing. Demons can influence unhealthy thoughts in your life, so you've got to renew your mind daily. Demons will try to destroy your marriage, married couples. I don't know if you know that, but the last thing that the devil wants is a married couple with Christ at the center to be successful. He just doesn't. Prime example, David and Bathsheba. You think that a demon didn't go to that woman to take a bath on that roof at the exact same time that the king of Israel walked on the palace roof? You think that wasn't Satan? Come on, man. And that was a man after God's own heart. He'll wreck your finances. Remember those parable of the talents? The guy who was afraid, he buried it. Satan will also try to ruin your testimony and crush your children, literally. Remember Job? His children were literally crushed by the house. Crushed. Demons will try to do that to you. They will do anything to stop you from being all that God made you to be. We're almost done. We got one more thing. Daniel 6, verse 16 through 17 says this. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually rescue you. If you take notes, I would definitely highlight this verse because I want to tell you about this. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his signet ring and with the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. That's where the demons will make you think you can't get any better. How many have you ever felt like that? God, it's got to get better than this. God, I can't. My situation is never going to change. Maybe you've been looking for to get married, or maybe you've been looking for that job, or maybe you've been looking for that car, you can't find it, right? Like, this situation's never going to change. That's where the enemy will get you. It goes on in Habakkuk to say this about these Chaldeans and about these demons. Habakkuk 1 verse 10 and 11. They mock kings, they scoff at rulers, they laugh at all fortified cities by building earthen ramps to capture them. They sweep pass like the wind and go on. Guilty people whose strength is their God. Would you say that those people thought that their strength was their God? They sealed that tomb with a king's ring and their ring so that Daniel's situation couldn't be changed. They put Daniel in a place that only God could move. Only God could move. They placed him in a place to say, hey, if God is who he says he is, too bad. Like, I'm going to put you so deep into this that you can't get out. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't have Christ in your life, you're never going to recover. You would have looked at those lions, and if you didn't believe God, oh my goodness. Now, I would have definitely had to change my pants multiple times if I even had any at that point. If I'm in there with those lions, I mean, it would have been tough. It would have been crazy. But Daniel stood fearlessly, faithfully in there, knowing that God would deliver him through this. And here's the thing that I want you to know. When you look at this, that rock is sealed, and the demons are going to think they've won. See, they keep destroying and moving on to the next thing. It doesn't say that those people stopped throwing people in lions' dens after that. Does it say that the people stopped at this moment in Daniel's story? Daniel couldn't have been the only one that was praying to God. They continued on. They tried to seize dwellings that weren't their own, but we just see this part of Daniel. And here's what I want to tell you. The demons have nowhere to stay or dwell. They'd love to dwell in you. It's that simple. So if we think that that doesn't work today, not only does social media or your phone look there, look at all these Ponzi schemes, get rich quick, lose weight quick, get healed quick, think straight, whatever it is, live forever, all these things that aren't in Christ, the demon will get there. So here's what I want to tell you the demons will do. They'll distract you, they'll deceive you, and they'll try to determine your future. Demons will distract you, deceive you, and try to determine your future. Remember what it said about Daniel. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den so that his situation would not be changed. If you're in the middle of the swamp, you're going to feel like the situation can't be changed. Right? Wouldn't you? I would. If I'm in the middle of the swamp, I'd feel like my situation can't be changed. I would see that. I may not even realize that I'm halfway through my situation. But instead, I probably want to stop dead in my tracks. I look back and I see swamp. I look forward and I see swamp. And I'm just waiting for the enemy to take me out. Anybody ever been there? I've been there. I've been there in life. I can tell you, I've been there in life. I've been through some pretty crazy times. I can tell you moments where I was like, man, I've been so depressed that I've been there in life. And I'm be like, Jesus, it's up to you. It's where community helps, guys. Community's helped me through that. I'll be honest with you. But I want you to know that your story doesn't end just like Daniel's story doesn't end. So how does it end? Daniel answered, may the king live forever. He goes, they roll the stone back. The stone is rolled away. And all of a sudden, the king's ready to like have this burial. He's like, Daniel's going to be dead. We got to get his tomb ready. But instead, Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel. He shut the mouths of lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed. He gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den, and when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in, thrown down into the lion's den. Make sure you know that. They were thrown into the lion's den. Whew. Along with their wives and their children, and before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed them and their bones, and crushed all their bones. So I'm telling you all this. Let's talk about these Chaldeans and these demons. And I want you to see the difference. But I also want you to see the reality. Those same Chaldeans are the same ones that are Babylon in the end. They're demons. They are out to stop you from being all that God created you to do, or be, excuse me, and do. But here's what I want to tell you. In Christ Jesus, you have been given power by God and authority through Jesus to fight this. You aren't fighting from your power, but from God's power. You aren't fighting from your authority, but from Jesus' authority. As a matter of fact, you're not fighting for victory. What I love about Daniel is he already knew what was going to happen. He knew that he wasn't fighting for victory. He was fighting from victory because he was found innocent in God's sight. And see, here's the thing. Each and every one of us with Christ will be found innocent in God's sight. And when that happens, lions can't beat us. Nothing can come against us. We can stand up to anything. So maybe you have to understand for this miracle to happen is this. You're alive. You are a miracle. God made a way for you and I all to be delivered. Demons can't come against us. People can't come against us. They can scheme. They can push. They can do everything they can, whether they're a Chaldean or a spiritual person. They can come against us, but they won't defeat us. They won't stop the gospel. The gospel has been stopped for years. People have thought they were going to stop it for years, and it has continued to spread because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You see, there was another tomb that was sealed not too long ago, about 2,000 years ago, right? There was another tomb that was sealed, and everyone celebrated its faith. They rolled the stone in front of it. This time, though, they didn't just put a seal on it with a king's ring. They put two soldiers in front of it and said, if anybody comes to take this body, kill them. And that person is Jesus. And he was in that tomb. And everybody was expecting 3 days later that stone would be rolled away and that they would put those burial spices on him. And all of a sudden this great prophet that healed everyone would be dead. And all of a sudden they went and the tomb was empty. All of a sudden the power of death had been overcome. Satan had been defeated. Jesus literally kicked Satan in the face, kicked the gates of hell down. He promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against him. And all of a sudden, we operate from that authority. We have that power inside of us that is the Holy Spirit when Jesus is our Lord and Savior. But so many times, we can get caught in who these demons are that we forget who our God is. And so what I want to tell you is this moment of deliverance that you can have, if Christ isn't the center of your life, you can't experience it. you can't experience it. But if Christ is the center, you can battle anxiety. How you battle anxiety is you go to the doctor and you pray. You pray that Jesus heals you. Maybe you have some emotional suffering. Seek counseling. Pray for deliverance from that. Get community around you. Maybe you have a child rebelling. Parents, don't be afraid to steward that child well. Take that phone. Know who their friends are. Steward them well and pray that God would protect them. Maybe you got a loved one who's battling an addiction. Get them help. Get them in a group, but pray for deliverance from that by being community for them. Maybe you're physically sick. Get to a doctor. But pray that God would do what only He can do. That's where Daniel was. When we're praying for this thing called deliverance, don't lose sight that God has already delivered you through Christ. And this miracle you can experience today. Because Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And so maybe you're in this moment and you feel like the demons are taking over you, or you feel like this is around you. Maybe you have a relationship with Jesus and you feel overwhelmed by these demons. I want you to know that you have authority. You have authority over that. Jesus has given you authority. And so maybe you're stuck in that. And if you're stuck in that, I just want you to say this. I take authority over this darkness in Jesus' name. Maybe you're stuck there. I take authority over this darkness in Jesus' name. Because I don't see when Jesus' name has been mentioned that the demon stays. When Jesus is inside of someone, the demon can't do that. You have nothing to be afraid of. The demons can't possess what the lions claim. What Jesus has claimed. I said lions because I want to share this one thing about a lion here at the end. Demons can't possess what Jesus has claimed. So as we're getting ready for our last song and getting ready to wrap up today, you're going to see people moving behind me and all that crazy good stuff. I want to talk to you about the lion. The lion. You know, I told you about the wolf that's growling and how he's got wolves that are surrounding you in the perimeter. Well, I don't know if you know about a lion, but what does a lion travel in? A pride, right? They travel in a pride. So I don't know if you know about the roaring lion, but it says this. You know, we said 1 Peter 5:8 that the devil comes around prowling like a roaring lion, right? Like 1 Peter 5:8 tells us that. And I don't know if you know this about tigers. Here we go with Tyler's once again trivia here. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So if you ever studied lions, I want you to know that the roaring lion is the weakest lion. I don't know if you know that or not. The lion that roars is the one whose teeth actually are missing. They're starting to fall out. More than likely, it's the oldest lion in the pride. And the reason it roars is it goes out to scare the prey to the younger lions. That's what it does. It is the weakest of them all. And yet, Peter is telling us that Satan roars like a lion. And the reason he roars like a lion as he's trying to get you to a place where you can't experience victory, because he's trying to distract you from having a relationship with Jesus. He's trying to deceive you and that your circumstance will overcome you. And he's trying to determine your future by not giving you life and life eternal that is found in Christ Jesus. But he'll scream and he'll cry and he will be a lion trying to push you to it all the way through. So here's what I want to tell you about the lion. It don't have nothing on you. If you have Christ in you, it's got nothing on you. And so today, as we get ready for this song, maybe you need to talk to somebody about some things you're struggling with, or talk to somebody about some things you're going through. Don't let today end without that. Don't let that roaring lion still make noises on your way out the door. Let it meow and purr like a little kitty cat that it's supposed to be, not a big roaring lion that has no authority in your life. So today, nail that down. Let's pray as we get ready. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to come and lift your name high. I pray that at this moment we would know that in you and you alone we can experience victory. That it isn't about us. It isn't about our name or our pride or our strength. It's about you, Jesus. So today, I pray that we would work and operate from the victory that only you can give, Lord. Let us see that the demon has no authority over us. Satan himself has no authority over us. These Chaldeans that literally have the description of a demon are actually on the earth right now. They are trying to dwell in something that they don't belong in. But Jesus, with you in it, they will flee. So let us have authority in that today. And let us be reminded of who you are and the miracle that we are, that we get to be here. It's your name we pray. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Yes, stand and sing with us.
talk, as that song said perfectly. He's mighty to say, you can be delivered today, only if Christ is at the center. It's not the words of the prayer. You know, so many of us can see Daniel's story and we think that's a real cool story, but that can't happen for me. The miracle is, it's already happened for you. Like we said, that tomb was sealed, that stone was rolled in over the tomb, so that devil thought that Jesus' situation couldn't be changed. And he's going to make you think your situation can't be changed. But here's the thing. We serve a mighty God. We serve a God of miracles. And in this miracle, Jesus is who he says he is, as the Son of God. He lived a life that we couldn't live, died the death we deserved in that grave, but didn't stay in that grave. He gave us power and authority to have life and life to the full and live heaven on earth now, because that stone was rolled away. And all of us can experience that power. But the thing is, it's not going to be the words of a song. It's not going to be how many times a day we pray, or how many Bible verses we read, or how many Sundays we show up, how many Sundays we don't show up, how many chairs we put up, how many chairs we put down, whatever that is for you. It's not anything you can do to earn this power, to earn this grace, to earn this life. There's nothing you can do to do it. You just have to receive by faith that Jesus is who he says he is. Because just like Daniel in that lion's den, he was found innocent in God's sight. The only way that each of us can be found innocent in God's sight is through Christ. Because all of us are sinners. All of us are sinners and are deserving to be thrown in that den, deserving of death. But because of Jesus, we can have life. So in this moment, I'm going to ask, as everybody bows their head and closes their eyes, it's not about the words of this prayer, it's that faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So I'm going to ask you, have you ever done that? Can you say in your life that you've experienced Jesus? Can you say in your life that you've trusted him as your Lord and Savior, that you've trusted him as your deliverer? Because if not, here's your opportunity. Don't be weighed down by this life. Don't let the enemy make you think that your circumstance can't be changed, because in Christ, it can be. And so today is your opportunity to nail that down. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're about to say a prayer. We're not going to pray alone in this house, but here is your opportunity to declare that Jesus is Lord of your life and to receive him by faith. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm just going to ask everyone to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. You lived the life that I couldn't live, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but left an empty tomb so that I may live life. Come take over my life. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, best way I know how. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you're watching online, this is your moment. I'm going to count to three, and I'm just going to ask you to respond. If you're online, there's going to be a way to respond online. Maybe you're watching in the middle of the week. Just reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv or hello@thevine.tv. Shoot us a phone call, a text message. Whatever it is, let us know, because we want to celebrate with you. But this is your opportunity. So I'm going to count to three, and if that's the first time you can say that you've received by faith that Jesus is who he says he is, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. One, two, three. It's your moment. This is your time to be delivered. If that's you, raise your hand. Let us know if that's you. And for everyone else in the room, in this moment, I'm just going to ask, as we pray together always, that folks, don't let anyone pray alone. As they stand up, you're going to see some folks move around, maybe put their arm around each other. But I just want to say, I'm going to pray for us as we go out and about the rest of this week. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, as folks are together here, I'm just going to pray for us. And I'm going to pray that maybe if there's someone in this place that needs to talk, they don't let this day pass by with a roaring lion, but understand that they have faith and hope and life and deliverance in Christ alone. So dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done, Jesus, for each and every one of us. It's not about us. It's not about our name. It's not about getting our banner lifted high. It's about your name and your name alone, because in you and in you alone we have life. So Jesus, today, whatever roaring lions we have in our life, whatever Chaldeans we have in our life, whatever people that are trying to scheme and dwell in places that are not their own, whatever demons or dark forces in the heavenly realms we come against, Jesus, let us always be reminded that you've already won. The victory has already been won. The battle that was waged has already been won. You won it on the cross, and you gave us life. So, Jesus, let us be centered and focused on you, and let us know that in you we have power and authority over those things, that only in you can we find it. So, Jesus, let us be focused on you. Jesus, those loved ones that we pray for that are searching for a miracle, we pray, Jesus, that they would see you more clearly than ever, because if you are in it, man, there's nothing that they can't overcome. We lift them up to you right now, Jesus. We ask all these things. You're wonderful, you're precious, your holy name. We love you, Lord. It's your name we pray. Amen. Everybody have a great week. We can't wait to continue to come back here next week when pigs fly as we continue to talk about miracles of healing. And I promise it won't be too crazy long. We probably won't be in Habakkuk. So come back here and join us. We love you guys.